Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jummah Mubarak. Thank you for being here and thank you for following the safety measures and guidelines. Please continue to use your own judgment and exercise caution as you feel necessary. So on Sunday, starting at 10:45 a.m., Sheikh Shahid will hold his final class on Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. And then from 12 noon, Dr. Siddiqui will have his tafsir class. Dr. Siddiqui will continue discussing Surah Ali Imran, and both classes will be in the same Zoom session. This evening, MYG will host a special talk with psychologist Dr. Marwa Azab. She will be sharing her expert advice on attaining healthy peace of mind, so please join us at 7:30 p.m. Tomorrow, MYG will host a fun Halloween evening of laser tag and water balloon launching competitions. So the youth should plan to register. The event will be held in the ISOC back parking lot and will start at 7 p.m. All program and login details are in this week's newsletter. And finally, just a reminder, please make sure that your mask covers your mouth and your nose. Your mask should not be removed at any time. Please refrain from shaking hands or removing your mask at any time while you are here. Let's remember to take a little bit of extra care and help each other to feel safe and comfortable. And just a final reminder, please remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed on Sunday night, or on Saturday night, sorry. And on Sunday morning, Fajr will begin at 5:15 a.m. Once again, Sunday morning, Fajr will be held at 5:15 a.m. And once again, once the prayer is over, please leave one row at a time. Be mindful of social distancing. And please use the back parking lot to exit. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين وأصلي وأسلم عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى تابعيهم ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله العظيم وطاعته، وأحذركم من معصيته ومخالفة أمره ونهيه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. Praise be to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His guidance and forgiveness. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever is left without guidance, none can guide besides Allah. We bear witness that there is no one worth worshipping but Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His last prophet and messenger. Prayers and peace of Allah be upon Him, upon His companions, upon His followers and their followers till the day of judgment. Ameen. Servants of Allah, have the taqwa of Allah. That is, have the balance between the love of Allah, the respect of Allah, and the fear of the consequences of your actions on the day of judgment. Have the taqwa of Allah and do not die except on the state of Islam, the state of submission to the will and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma ba'd. As we are living in a time where things happening around us in a very rapid and fast manner, this past week was a very stressful week for Muslims around the world after what happened in France. And then yesterday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as many historians believe, even though some historians believe that the date of his birth is not known, but it's became known that this is the day that we celebrate the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam every year. And then we're going through the elections and going through all the things that are happening around us and how one is torn between all the options and all the things that we see around us, what to choose and how to do, give their vote in the most honest and the most proper way. We are living and having taken the advantage of this Friday prayer to dedicate it to the most important thing that among all these three things, which is remembering our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every year I get this question. People ask me, what's the proper way of to celebrate the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal? What's the proper way to celebrate the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Unfortunately, Muslims around the world, with good intentions, they went to extremes when it came to this. Some went all the way to the extreme to make it like a Eid, a must that we have to celebrate and we have to have a big festivity and we have to do certain songs and certain food and certain things. And if you don't, you're a bad Muslim. That's an extreme and we do not like it. On the other side, there is another extreme who will say, even if you mention Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this day is a bid'ah because the Prophet did not do it, the companions did not do it. That's another extreme that also we don't agree with. The balanced way is if we get any opportunity, any occasion to remember our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam without exaggerations, without extremism, without trying to make a big deal about it. If people do not agree with the way we do it, then that's what we should be doing. And the best thing to revive the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remember his legacy is to learn about him, is to learn about the things that he's done, the things that he went through. So first of all, we as Muslims understand who's our Prophet and follow his footsteps in the proper way. But also so we can teach others and convey a positive message, a true image of who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be through our actions, through the way we deal with others. Because if you are an employer and the way you deal with your employees, it will be nice to tell them, I pay you on time because my Prophet Muhammad told me to do so. It will be nice to tell your neighbor that the reason you are kind and nice to him and you'd clean his house for him or his yard or take the trash out for him because my Prophet told me to take care of my neighbor. It will be nice when you have a guest in your house or at your business and tell them the reason I'm generous with you because my prophet told me to be generous to my guests. And all these things that we can learn about the beauty of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it will help us reflect that image to others so people understand who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. Half an hour ago, I gave a talk on the Shura TV. I encourage you all to go and watch it. It's about simple little things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did that will make us understand why millions of people around the world are so offended when someone makes fun of him, are so bothered when someone is attacking him. Not to justify any act of aggression or violence against anyone who's doing that, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself taught us how to deal with those who mock the religion or make fun of him. And it was not aggression or violence. But simply to explain to people why we get so bothered, why it's so painful for me and you and everyone else when we hear someone saying something negative about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But in this khutbah, in these short few minutes, I'd like to talk about one thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did and choose one example that the Prophet ﷺ used it at that time to, so we can appreciate him a little bit more. A few months ago, it was the beginning of the Hijri year. And I'm sure any khatib or any speaker who spoke during the time of the first day of Muharram about the Hijrah told us about the lessons that we learn from the Hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. The way he planned it, the way he trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he chose a companion, the way he did the whole journey, it's a lesson from A to Z to each one of us so we can practice in our lives. But there is a little lesson that not a lot of people pay attention to when it comes to the Hijrah. Because a lot of people think that the Prophet ﷺ, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, it was an easy decision. It was like going on a vacation or going on a tour. 2 weeks and I'm coming back. That was not the case. It was a major sacrifice that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. It was not an easy decision to leave the only town that you lived in, the only place that you know, the only people that you know since you were born, so you can go and start a new life. That's not an easy decision. Hijrah, migration, immigration is not an easy decision. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he made that decision, it was a painful decision. How do we know this? Because the day he left Mecca, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood on the outskirts of the city and he looked back and he said something. Try to imagine the pain. Try to imagine the tears in his eyes when he said that. What did he say? He said, "By Allah, you are the most beloved town to my heart, Mecca. By Allah, I never intended to leave. By Allah, I did not want to leave if it was not for your people who kicked me out." It was not an easy decision. And that sacrifice was throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sacrificed his comfort. He sacrificed his reputation. He sacrificed his honor. He sacrificed his physical health for the sake of each one of us. So we can open the Quran and read it easily now in Garden Grove, California, 2020. So try to imagine the sacrifice that the Prophet ﷺ did at that day. Every year when the first day of Muharram, the first day of the Hijri year, remind yourself, the Prophet ﷺ made a major decision. It was not an easy decision. Not only him, the companions did too. Everyone who left from Mecca to Medina, it was not an easy decision. It was a painful process for them. Prophet Muhammad did not know what's going to happen to him in the new life. Is he going to live or die? Is he going to succeed or fail? He did not know. All what he knew that he has to flee with his life, flee with his mission and message, so he can try it somewhere else. And throughout history, this kind of migration, this kind of hijrah, this kind of sacrifice, been paid by many Muslims throughout the years who learned from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You go a couple of hundred years ago, a small community in the mountains of Caucasus, which is in Russia nowadays. They're called the Cherkessians, Muslim community, who had to flee from the persecution and the killing of the Russian Empire. And they fled to the Middle East and the Ottoman Empire. Until nowadays, those communities exist in those countries. You talk about their history, they'll tell you we had to run away with our lives and our religion because we were persecuted in that town. Around 80 years ago, when our brothers and sisters in the land of Palestine, they had to leave their houses and get out. And they thought it's going to be a week or two and they'll come back. They took their keys. 80 years later, they still have their keys with them. Recently, our brothers and sisters from Burma, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and they're all leaving their homes and they're all leaving their neighborhoods and countries, going to a place that they did not know. That's a sacrifice that we need to understand and appreciate. Even our fellow humans who are leaving their homes in South America and coming to our southern borders, trying to find a safer place for their families and their children, we need to understand this kind of decision is not easy. When people make a decision to migrate and go from one place to another, it's not an easy decision. It's painful. So we need to appreciate and have some empathy towards those who make such decisions. But also, to remember that sometimes positive things come out from these hard, difficult situations. Who would have expected that with that decision of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with that sacrifice, leaving his own town, his hometown, going to a new place, that this will be the beginning of a new civilization? That this will be the beginning of the fastest growing religion in the 21st century? This will be the beginning of this huge land that's filled with this faith called Islam? Who would have imagined that? Who would have imagined that the Palestinians who left to South America, Brazil and Argentina, they were able to positively impact the societies they're living in? And we will see in Europe, from the Syrian migrants who are going there, who will make a different and positive impact in those places. So positivity sometimes comes out from these difficult situations. The message or the topic is try to understand that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a huge sacrifice, and many of them throughout his life, but during Hijrah specifically, it was a major sacrifice that we should always contemplate upon and think about it whenever we remember him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who understand the advice and apply it in their lives. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى تابعيهم ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. As we commemorate and revive the legacy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our lives, it's important for us to know him a little bit more. It is sad to see some young people in our community whom, if you ask them, what do you know about Muhammad, they will say, my father said he was a good man, that's all. And they are not understanding why people are getting offended and upset because someone is attacking him. It's our responsibility and our duty to teach those little things to everybody in our community, to the little kids, to the adults, to everybody. The little things, the little merciful things that the Prophet ﷺ shared with everyone. The way he dealt with animals, the way he dealt with kids, the way he dealt with women, the way he dealt with every single person in the community. The way he dealt with even the annoying people in the community was so beautiful. There was a man, his name is Zahir, who used to live in the deserts. And he will come once a week to Medina. And he will bring milk and dairy product to sell them. But no one liked him. He was so obnoxious, so annoying. He smells bad. He looked bad. He was very harsh in the way he dealt. So everyone avoided him, except Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one day he came to Medina and he went to the house of the Prophet. He asked about the Prophet. They said, he's not here. So when the Prophet came back, he didn't say, Alhamdulillah, I wasn't here. He said, where did he go? He said, he went to the market. He went after him. And he knew how he feels. So he went behind his back and he put his hand on the eyes of Zahir. Let me joking with him. And the man, very harsh, leave me alone, leave me alone. Turn around. Oh, it's you, Prophet Allah. The Prophet grabbed him so hard. And he said, who would buy this slave? I'm selling this slave. Again, as a joke. The man said, oh, Prophet of Allah, satajiduni kasida. I'm worthless. No one's going to buy me. The Prophet ﷺ said something. He said, وَلَكِنَّكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ غَالِي. But you are very valuable in the eyes of Allah. But you are very precious in the eyes of Allah. Even these little things that the Prophet ﷺ did. When a man brought a bowl of grapes to him, and he was feeding him, and every time he eats, he smiles in his face. The companions asked after the man left, oh Prophet Allah, that's strange. You didn't share with us. Usually you share with us. He said, the grapes were so bitter. And I was so afraid that one of you will try it and will express those negative emotions or feelings. So his smile will go away. Look how much he cared about the emotions of people. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is someone that we need to learn about. And we need to learn from his experience. As we said in the first khutbah, the Prophet ﷺ made a major sacrifice when he migrated from Mecca to Medina. And the examples of migration in our communities are so many. I'd like to finish this khutbah with three types or kinds of migrations or hijras that we see them all the time, but sometimes we don't appreciate them and we don't know how to deal with them. The first hijrah that we see it all the time are those brothers and sisters who decide to become Muslim, who convert to Islam, who embrace Islam as adults. I call them Muslims by choice, or as I learned from a dear friend, she calls herself a Muslim by choice. When these brothers and sisters come to Islam and they leave their homes, they leave their families, it's not an easy decision. Because they go through difficulty afterwards. Either they get kicked out from their homes, either they get fired from their jobs, either they get mistreated or boycotted by their families. The last thing they need to get is when they come to our community that we make it worse for them. And sometimes we do. Each one of us become a scholar in front of the convert. If each one of us becomes a teacher, becomes a boss, you're doing wrong, this is right, this is wrong. Take it easy. Gradually, they cannot learn everything in one day. You cannot pour everything you learned over the past 50 years in their minds in 1 week or one day. It will take time. So keep that in mind and don't add to their. They are going through difficult times. They did their hijrah. They did their sacrifice. So we need to help them out. So that's number one. Number two, our brothers and sisters who decide to do hijrah from bad lifestyle to good lifestyle, to the masjid. They've been years away from masjid. They've been years away from Islam. They've been years away from the Quran. Now they decide to do this hijrah. They decide to come. We should help them out. We should not repel them out. Because the problem is, we expect them to be like the holiest people when they walk into the masjid. And that's not true. Imagine for a moment you're inside the masjid and someone walks in, a Muslim brother walks into the masjid with their shoes all the way to the mihrab. What do you think we will do to them? A Muslim brother walks in with his shoes all the way to them on top of the carpet. I'm sure many of us will start yelling, your shoes, ya akhi, outside, don't you see the shelf? What do you expect from someone walking with their shoes on the carpet? What does that mean? They never been to a masjid before. Or maybe it's been many years. So when we are not understanding the transformation that they're going through in this hijrah, in this migration, we might kick them back. And it happened many times. I hear many people tell me, I decided to start praying, but the first day I went to pray, I've been yelled at. And it happens a lot on the women's section. A sister who barely started praying, she comes to the masjid, and all these brutal comments come to her. Sister, your hair. Sister, your nail polish. Sister, your pants. Sisters, take it easy on each other. Try to understand the sister who's coming to the masjid for after many years. Take it easy on them and absorb them. And finally, the third kind of hijrah, which is very common in our community. Most of our community for many years was made out of immigrants. Each one of these immigrants had a story. Each one of these immigrants made a sacrifice. If you are a second or a third generation, if your father or your grandfather were immigrants, show some appreciation. Understand the pains that they went through when they left their hometown. Stop making fun of their accent. Stop calling them fobs. Stop making fun of their cultural habits. Stop making fun of the fact that they always say back home, that used to be that way. This is what they loved. This is what they learned. This is what they knew when they were growing up. Instead, appreciate what they've done to you. Almost every single masjid in our locality was built by the immigrant community. Every single school was built by the immigrant community. Almost every single organization was built by the immigrant community. The amount of sacrifices that they'll took food out of their mouths and their children's mouths so they can donate to the masjid, it is something we need to learn from that immigrant community. So if you have a father or a grandfather or an uncle or a mother who's an immigrant, show them some appreciation. And be ready to take the banner, because it's your turn. Your turn to take these organizations to the next level. And for the brothers and sisters who migrated from other parts of the world, let me give you some good news. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The distance between the place of your birth and the place of your death is full of forgiveness." All of it is forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is home. Stop saying next year I'm going back home. It's not going to happen. I've heard people saying for 20 years, next year I'm going, and they never do. And they never settle here, they never settle there. This is home. And let us be ready to give the torch to the next generation so they can take our community to the next level. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who appreciate others and understand the pains of others so we can show some good feelings and emotions towards them when we are talking to them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward everyone who made a sacrifice for the sake of this faith and everyone who made a sacrifice for the sake of their family and the sake of their children. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our parents and our grandparents and those who passed away and those who are still among us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward every single person who contributed to the building of this masjid and the other masajid and this school and the other schools. Ameen, ameen. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات عباد الله إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدس حيث قال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give shifa to Sister Tasneem Mahmood, Brother Sayyid Badruddin, Brother Shamim Ahmed, Brother Habibullah Mian, Brother Haris Khan and family, and Sister Barira Abid. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive those who passed away, Sister Rabia Bai, Brother Sayyid Ahmed, Sister Saba Anwar, Sister Khairun Nisa Patel, and Brother Ibrahim Kulsi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them all and reward them the highest levels of Jannah, insha'Allah. Wa aqim as-salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوي للصلاة straighten your lines.